Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, it'd be definitely just wonderful to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming medium wave 1540 Satellite Islam, and to those of you on DSTV 826. Wonderful, wonderful. We've had, and we're truly blessed. We've had some brilliant rain the last couple of days, wonderful downpour, and the Baal Dam, as I've heard last, was about 70% full, and we are truly blessed. This morning we've got brilliant sunshine looking out the studios of Radio Islam, blue skies. Perhaps we'd have some rain later on. This morning we've got a wonderful guest, someone we haven't spoken for a couple of weeks, and that's Michelle Kudzer of Brand Miller's Nursery. Hi, good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Ismail.
Thank you very much. You know, we've been chatting for a while. Tell us what's happening in your side of the world of gardening.
Oh, well, we've also had absolutely wonderful rain. On Friday night, we had so much. We had about 50 millimeters, which we're so grateful for. And we've had lovely overcast days, which have at least meant that we haven't needed to water, which is an absolute bonus. But in between, unfortunately, we've also had very hot days, which makes it very difficult.
You know, we started off the season very with uncertainty. You know, we were at the grips of the drought when we started out. It was around about September, October. Scanning the skies, we're not too sure what was going to happen. So people were not very certain what had to be done for their gardens. Have you found a change coming towards December? Have people then decided, well, fine, they're still going to garden or not?
Yes, a lot of people have sort of waited for the rains, and they're now all of a sudden gardening. And particularly as far as vegetables and herbs are concerned, I find there's definitely more and more people wanting to buy food to grow their own and just be able to pick their own because, first of all, it's become so expensive and it's so rewarding to grow your own.
So, you know, the trend definitely is still moving towards food security.
Most definitely, yes.
And having said all of that, you know, we've had the scorches, and like you said, we've got this brilliant, you know, we've had lots of rain, and as you point out, on Friday, we've had buckets full of rain, and it's come up. Has it made an impact, do you think, going on into winter? Do you think we'll see a severe winter? Do you think not? You know, whilst we can't predict, but what would you, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm laughing because I actually said to my mom, I'm sure Ismail's going to ask me what the winter's going to be like. I wish I could answer that. Some people say that if we have a wet autumn, we have a cold winter, and other people say vice versa. So I really don't know what to say because the two past winters haven't been severe winters. So perhaps it's time that we have a severe one to get rid of all the insects and things. But I honestly can't speculate. Obviously, I'm hoping that it's not going to be so cold, but I really can't.
You don't know. I'd be definitely on your side when you say we hope it's not that cold. Now, we're talking about moving into, you know, before we still have a couple of weeks of, you know, the late summer, round about just 4 weeks. Anything to be done, do you think we'd still do? People still be able to put in some veggies in? Is it too late? Summer vegetables? We're not talking about the autumn and winter, but some of the veggies and herbs. Do you think that's too late now?
No, it's definitely not late. And I beg to differ. We don't just have 4 weeks left. Normally, the frost only arrives sort of towards the end of April. So I think it's more like 2 months that we've still got. So I believe there's definitely enough time still to get some summer veggies in, particularly things like chilies, sweet peppers and brinjals and tomatoes, especially if you buy them from the garden centers in pots. Many of the garden centers have them in pots these days, you know, single plants. And that way you can actually plant it in a bigger, even if it's just a bigger plastic pot, a sort of 12-inch pot, 30-centimeter pot, which you can then move onto the patio when the cooler weather comes, and that way you'll be able to prolong your crop. And there's quite a few herbs that you can still put in now. Some of the winter veggies are starting to arrive, but I believe it's still a bit hot for the winter thing.
Yes, I definitely still feel the temperature is too hot for winter. And is there anything particularly just for the short period of autumn? You know, we have a very, very, you know, short period of autumn. Anything that we could be doing for that?
Basically, you could be preparing your garden, especially your veggie garden, for your winter veggies by digging in some cow manure and digging in your compost and putting your fertilizer in just to make sure that your beds are ready. Or if you're planting in pots, you could start getting your pots ready for that. And I'd just like to mention, please, when the leaves start falling, that listeners must please not rake them up and throw them away. They must use them as mulch and use them to make their own compost.
You know, I must say that is a trend that we're sort of slowly catching up with. But while I was, you know, both when I was in Canada recently and in India, I find that they're using it extensively. You know, they go into it and you find that not one of that, or, you know, nothing is wasted. Everything is put back into the ground, you know, plowed back. And like you said, they rake it up, but rake it to put back into the garden. And, you know, they've done it so well. You know, it's just not, I'm not talking about public, I beg your pardon, private gardens, but public spaces also. you know, are encouraged to do that. So wherever you go, you find that everyone understands the value of the mulch, and everyone understands that those leaves and whatever comes from the garden or from nature itself has to be put back into nature.
No, most definitely. And I find, unfortunately, the South Africans haven't cottoned onto that yet. And I'm sorry to say, but a lot of South Africans waste. They waste all sorts of things, water, leaves, anything that can be used. You know? So definitely we need to learn a whole new way of thinking.
You know, and I still see people, you know, wanting their gardens to look pristine, clean, pure, you know, so they're still, you know, sweeping up all the, around the beds, and that's still happening. And you thought by now people would have understood that you're not supposed to be doing that. But I think that's an ongoing challenge that we have. You've got to make people understand it's about changing mindsets.
No, most definitely. I think it's possibly more from an aesthetic point of view. They think it doesn't look nice. It looks a bit untidy. But just the beneficial factors, you know, that it increases the soil holding capacity. It keeps the soil cooler. It just increases the insect activity and earthworm activity in your soil. And they don't realize how good it is.
And the other thing that, you know, someone was chatting about was, you know, the rainfall. We have a lot of the runoff. But the runoff is not really... you know, harvested correctly, and you find that, you know, it's wasted. Whereas in other countries, and I know in Canada especially, where they take it, you know, all this rainfall, whilst it is, it's directed eventually and then goes into the lakes and so forth. And I think South Africa is slowly catching up, but not fast enough.
No, definitely not. And I think one of the problems is with a lot of the huge new developments, it's all paving everywhere, with the result there's no soil to absorb that excess water, and it just sort of all runs away.
Yeah, and you know, these complexes, while they are building, I don't know if people or designers have thought around about these issues, that whilst it may be all paving, but is there not a way that you could have thought of collecting all of that run of water in some way that people or the inhabitants of that particular, you know, plot or that townhouse complex or something could use this water for their, you know, gardens and so forth? I'm sure they could come up with some of that.
No, I'm sure if they just organized the drainage properly and they had some storage tanks, I'm sure it could be done.
You know, definitely. So we're looking at, you know, so as people move in and, you know, building new homes and so forth, these are some of the ideas that they could think about and, you know, implement and put into their homes. Let's move on to now, we are in the end of, like you said, well, you were saying another 8 weeks. I was thinking, well, come, you know, when it comes to the 15th of March, I already say, well, fine. I think we're now moving to another season, and once it's there, not very much. Wood chilies, you say, do still well?
I beg your pardon?
Wood chilies do well, you're saying?
Yes, so chilies most definitely. Especially, obviously, if you buy small seedlings, you're not going to have a long enough time, but if you buy them in pots that are already established plants, they'll continue bearing until the frost arrives.
And then you say it's not necessary for you to sort of transplant them into the ground. You could leave them in pots and they would do well enough.
At this time of the year, that's what I would suggest, so that one can move it to a bit of a sheltered spot so that when the frost comes, they can at least still can continue bearing.
You know, we've had the stone fruits coming and, you know, they've fruited already, and we're now having the last of the summer season fruits in our garden, perhaps the figs and the pomegranates. Now, a question with regards to pomegranates. They're not having a very good harvest. What do you think would be, or what would have gone wrong? And that's the first point. And the second one is, they're not sweet. What do you think could be gone, could have gone wrong?
It sounds as though it's lack of food, and it might not necessarily be that the people are not giving enough food. It might be because of the extra rain, a lot of the nutrients are being leached out. So one has to understand that when we have a lot of rain, you need to give additional food because it gets washed out of the soil. So my recommendation would be something like a 315, which I've mentioned before has a lot of potassium in, and the potassium encourages the fruiting and flowering. So that should definitely make a difference.
Okay, and we had a guest on last week. We also spoke about flowers of sulfur and said that was going to be an absinthe salt. Would that work as well in all of that?
I believe flowers of sulfur or vine and dusting sulfur increases the sweetness of many fruits. I actually read an article the other day where they used it on strawberries to make the strawberries sweet, so it's certainly worth a try.
Okay, and garden centers would sell them, but they'd be a bit expensive. Is that correct? I know somebody said you could get them from the pharmacy, but extremely expensive.
The vine and dusting sulfur is around 80 rand for a bag. I think it's a half a kilo bag, and so that's not that bad. Obviously, at the pharmacy, it's going to be a much smaller quantity that you'll be able to buy.
And this, how do you apply this vine, you know, the dusting one? How does that...
Actually just sprinkle it on it with an old sieve, seems to work best.
Okay, so you just sprinkle it onto the plant
onto
itself?
Onto the ground itself. And those that have baby marrows or pumpkins that have got mildew on the leaves, that sort of white powdery on the leaf, the vine and dusting sulfur works very well for that as well. So you could just sprinkle it on the leaves as a fungicide.
And of course, you know, it's safe to use.
Yes, most definitely.
You know, it's not a chemical one, so you could then, you know, immediately if you have to harvest any of the crops, you'll be able to eat them.
Exactly, yes.
Thank you very much for that. And I've got a couple of questions that come through. The first one speaks about, I've got lots of insects in my quins. What have I done wrong?
Insects in the quins?
Yes. So one, it looks beautiful outside, she says, but when she cuts it up and you find all the worms and hochas in it.
This is the problem with a lot of fruits, is that it's often fruit fly that causes it. And one needs to spray early enough. And when one reads the pamphlet on the fruit fly insecticide, it says that you need to start when 3/4 of the petals have dropped. And you need to spray every 2 weeks until a certain number of weeks before you harvest. And I think this is the crucial thing, that one needs to start spraying early enough for it.
Okay, so now it's too late. You can't do much. That's correct.
No, but if one wants to go the organic route, you could plant tansy around your fruit trees, which would definitely make a difference because they do repel fruit flies.
Tansy, and is tansy available now?
Tansy is normally available at this time of the year. It's a lovely herb, about a meter high with yellow flowers, so it's quite an attractive herb, and they use it as insect repellent as well to make an insect repellent spray, but as I say, it definitely does help with the fruit flies.
And is it a summer herb or a winter one?
It's a summer one, and it dies down. It's actually perennial. It dies down in winter and then comes up again in spring.
And you say it's easily available?
It is, yes.
Okay, so that stands in that. Would that also help for psyllium as well or not?
I don't unfortunately know of a organic remedy for psyllium, no.
Okay, thank you very much for that. The next one is, I've got a couple of brangles and lemons, and I've seen a lot of holes in them. That's what the listener says. And something has eaten them. What do you think has gone wrong and what should I do?
On the lemons, it's usually a caterpillar. It's a green caterpillar, so one doesn't often see him. So you need to look underneath the leaves and on the stalk where the leaf joins the stem. That's usually where he sits. And quite honestly, there's normally only 2 or 3 per citrus, so I wouldn't recommend spraying for that. Just remove them. And you said the other one is on the brinjals.
That's great.
On the brinjals, it could either be a worm or a beetle. How I often distinguish is, if your leaves are being eaten from the side, it's generally a worm, and if they're eaten from the middle, it's a beetle, because how I sort of remember that is the beetle flies and lands on the middle of the leaf, you know, and that's how I sort of remember it. So it's possible that it might be beetles, and the problem is with them, they often go into the soil and they only come out at night. So what one must maybe do is go out with a torch at about 7 or 8 in the evening and see if you can spot who it is, because the problem is a lot of the poisons work for worms and not necessarily for beetles.
And what do you recommend?
Carver spray is probably your best for beetles.
Okay, and something that's organic?
No, I don't know of something organic for the beetles, apart from a yellow bucket, because they're apparently attracted to yellow. So a bucket of water with maybe a bit of oil in or paraffin in, so that at least they can be attracted to that and drown in that.
Okay, and then so the and any fungicide, is there anything, or you know, herbicide, nothing?
The fungus, you mean organic?
Yeah, well, in anything in the Margaret Roberts range or in any of those particular ranges, anything that you could use or recommend?
Margaret Roberts does have a organic fungicide, yes, and I think she has a worm and a mosquito. I'm not sure which ones exactly, but she has 3 or 4. There's definitely a fungicide, and there's an organic poison for worms, and there's one that does aphids and red spider and white fly.
And the one for the beetle, would that help as well?
Yes, I don't think there's one for beetles. I think it's more for worms.
So beetles would definitely have to do something chemical.
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much for that one. And the question with regards to acid soil, if you are, you know, mixing it into your you know, normal soil, what would the ratio be?
Normally it's 1/3 of acid soil to 2/3, depending on what you're planting. If it's things like azaleas or camellias or gardenias or blue hydrangeas, even blueberries that need an acid soil, generally 1/3 of acid soil to 2/3 of potting soil if it's in pots, or then 2/3 of garden soil if you're planting in the garden.
Okay, so it's 1/3 and 2/3.
That's right, yes.
And the question with cutworms, what are the problems with cutworms and how do you eradicate cutworms?
Cutworms, the thing is they actually cut the newly planted seedlings off at ground level. So you'll just see the following morning the seedlings have all been chomped off. Unfortunately, I don't know of an organic treatment for them. So it would be something like Garden Ripcord, which isn't readily available anymore. It's actually been taken off the market. There's a problem with the registration. So in its place, there's Cypermethrin or Kempron.
And in this case, person says it's in his compost heap. Throw away the whole compost heap or do you get rid of the cutworms?
No, I think you can actually treat it. You know, if you use something like Kempron or Cypermethrin and actually treat your whole compost heap with that.
And you just throw it into the compost heap and mix the compost
heap?
You can
pour it on, yes.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much for that. And questions still coming in this morning, lots and lots of questions. Questions in regards to... we're now getting in almost into the citrus season. Any watch points?
Basically, the most important with citrus is good drainage. So the listeners that have a clay soil must make sure they mix coarse river sand into it or plant either in a pot then. And when they're planting in the garden and their soil is on the slightly clay side, they must plant a little bit higher than the surrounding soil to ensure good drainage. That's the most important with citrus.
And, feeding and what regimen do you recommend?
For citrus, they enjoy Epsom salts once a month, and also 315 seems to really work well for citrus.
Okay, 315. Someone also mentioned something about a new product with carbon in it. Tell us something about that.
With carbon in it.
That's great.
Yes, a lot of the fertilizers under the Wonder brand, they have added carbon in them. So they can also use that. For example, there's a 234 with added carbon, which you could definitely use.
And what's the value of carbon? I'm just curious to know.
It's more organic, and it definitely will help with the fruit production as well.
Thank you very much for that. And listeners, number 854-1548, or you could get me on 073-461-3014. 073-461-3014. Now, we're just going to look at some of the aesthetics. People wanting to say they still want to add splash of color to the garden. What would you recommend?
This time of year, the miniature cascading petunias, they sold under various names, Million Bells, Calibrachoa, or Rave petunias, and they really do well at this time of the year because they cascade, they can be used in hanging baskets, in flower boxes, in tall pots. I definitely recommend them, and they'll go right through the winter. Even geraniums for this time of the year, one can still put them in. Obviously, the frosty areas would have to put them in a slightly protected spot. The summer portulaca, the new one, the pizzazz, is really nice because that flowers so well. And we found that it even went through the winter, but as we have to remember that it was a mild season. Things like azaleas do very well at this time of the year. And then, of course, one mustn't forget the perennials. Things like salvias, the echinacea, the cone flowers, the inca lilies, the gora. What's important with perennials is that they die down in winter, but then they come up every year and they just become more and more every year. The bush just becomes bigger.
What about seedlings? Is it a bit too late for autumn seedlings, or could we still put them?
It's a little bit early for the winter seedlings. So if you're wanting to put seedlings in at this time of the year, your best option would probably be something like the red salvias. They'll flower until the frost comes. Petunias will do well. You can still put a few impatiens in, but realizing that any of your summer crops like salvias and impatiens and begonias and coleus will only last until the first frost comes. And then from about the end of March, it would be safe to start putting in your winter seedlings like pansies and primulas.
And talking about herbs, you still said we spoiled for choices with herbs, lots and lots of herbs. Tell us what are some of the newer herbs that we could put into our gardens?
Well, there's so many new different basils on the market. Thai basil and purple basil and Russell basil and lemon basil.
Wow.
The only thing is basil is, of course, frost tender. So the colder areas would have to then put them in pots that they can put them on the patio. But there's also quite a few new thymes. There's lemon thyme and a whole range of other thymes. And rocket is also very popular, the salad rocket. And lemongrass remains popular all the time. And, of course, things like parsley, your normal parsley, and then your flat-leaf parsley.
Question coming through about when are pomegranates ready for picking?
When their skin is sort of reddish, they're colored up nicely. that's normally a sign that they're ready to pick.
Chocolate mint, is that available?
Chocolate mint is fairly readily available, and what's very nice of that is you put it in a pudding bowl and then you put your ice cream on top of it and then you actually get this lovely chocolate mint aroma coming through.
Wow, fantastic. And do you have them?
I don't think at the moment.
No. Okay, not a problem. We're going to break for news. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Thanks a million. Take care, Michelle. Thanks, sir.
Bye. Bye.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are here to be different. My name is Ismail Briava. Wonderful have you, all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming, medium wave 1548, Satellite Islam, and DSTV 826. And we've got a wonderful guest in line. That's Michelle Kudza on Brand Miller's Nursery. I beg your pardon, Brand Miller's Nursery out just outside Roshni. And she's given us some wonderful tips and been talking to us about some of the things that, or rather some of the trends, and also food security being very, very high at this moment. Hi, good morning, Michelle.
Morning, Ismail.
Thank you very much. Just going back to food security, can you tell us the reason why it's just not money, there are other reasons as well?
I think it's just the satisfaction of growing your own, of having sort of, you know, that satisfaction, oh, well, I've grown this, and it just somehow seems to taste better. And once you start your own homegrown, you'll realize how the stuff that you buy in the supermarket, how long it's possibly been in a cold chain, you know, in fridges and things.
Thank you very much for that. And I've got a query that's come through. Could you repeat how to sweeten strawberries? I think we mentioned flowers of sulfur. Is that correct?
Yes, flowers of sulfur or vine and dusting sulfur.
It's V-I-N-E, vine and dusting. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Vine
yes,
and dusting.
It's also a fungicide that you use on the pumpkins and the baby marrows for the powdery mildew that they get on the leaves.
We've just got a couple of more minutes. Just quickly take us through what it must be done this particular time of the year, Michelle.
At this time of the year, you might have to do a little bit of pruning, particularly on your lollipops and your topiaries. Because of the rain, the stuff has grown tremendously. And as I mentioned earlier, one must remember that the fruit gets washed out when we have a lot of rain. So possibly one can look at just feeding the garden. And at this time of the year, the last feeding before the winter should be a 315, because potassium not only produces flowers and fruits, it also strengthens the cells against the cold. And those of you that do have water available or are prepared to go out at night and put the fertilizer down to water your lawns, 315 is also a good choice as your last feeding before the winter.
And what about the lawns?
You can feed them with 315 at this time of year, because it also strengthens them for the cold.
Thank you very much. And what have you on special at this moment, Michelle?
We have some herbs on special, and there is a compost special coming up from Monday, as in tomorrow. And there's a pot that's going to be on special. So from Monday, there's about 4 or 5 specials that are coming up.
And do you have any of your herbs and veggies on special?
There are pots of veggies on special at 45, in, you know, sort of bigger plants in pots. There's brinjals, there's tomatoes, there's peppers and chilies, all ready to go in now.
What about berries? What selection of berries do you have?
Berries, I have some raspberries, and I have some young berries and blueberries.
And would they do well up to what particular time?
The blueberries are sort of a shrub, so they'll grow right throughout the year, and the others tend to be ramblers, which go off in winter and then come out again. So you can certainly plant them now so their plants can get established for next spring.
And would they do good in pots?
They do. The blueberries do very well in pots, but the young berries and boysenberries and raspberries are more ramblers. So if you're putting them in a pot, you'd have to give them some form of a trellis. So they possibly better in the garden with a pole or two with a wire across where they can actually creep again.
Well, thank you very much for that information. We'll chat to you again in the future, but you take care. And thanks for being our guest this morning, Michelle.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you, Ismail.
Thanks, Ta. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
And that was Michelle Kudza from Brand Miller's Nursery. Brand Miller's just outside Roshni, and some wonderful information that she has shared with us. We're now going to be chatting to Jonathan Dulab. Now, Jonathan Dulab is someone who is hailed from Indonesia and is now no longer living here, but he has some wonderful ideas. How he wants to green Indonesia, and he's going to be putting lots and lots of money into this particular project. And we caught up with him during the course of the week, and he's going to share some of that information with us. Stay tuned. And we're now crossing over to Jonathan Dulab, who was formerly from Indonesia, and he's got an exciting venture that he's going to talk to us about. It's called Region G Gone Green.
Hi, good morning, Jonathan. Tell us about your initiative.
So, Israel, basically, the initiative is based around the upgrading of land and improving living conditions in the major. Just not the major, we're looking at improving conditions throughout Region G, which means we're going to be improving on our lighting systems, fees, obviously taking out the old paving, replacing the paving. We're going to actually repurpose all the paving. They're going to be repurposing all the schools as such that we can upgrade our schooling system as well. Because as you know, the schooling system is actually, or the overall environment within the schools is actually just deteriorating as the years go by. And then obviously, with regard to the environmental impact and the way land is structured currently, there's actually no sort of cleanup projects that's available. So this is the government we embarked on this mission to basically get land into sort of a sentence, that kind of environment where people are free to walk in, there's edited lighting, you know, the environment is clean constantly. Just the other day I was at the school at MH Yusuf, and there's grass as tall as I am. So obviously we're stepping in to obviously curb all these sort of dead entities that's happening and occurring in Malaysia, and we're going to be starting this initiative very shortly.
Now, you know, having said all of that, Jonathan, how come you got involved in Indonesia? I know you used to be an ex-Indonesian, but now you've moved out of the area. What drives you to come back into Indonesia, and why have you decided on this particular project?
I've lived in Indonesia all my life, and I've lived out for the past 12 years now. And every time I come into Indonesia, it's an isolation. It's still the same as I left. And, you know, we're stepping in to assist people in making a difference in the overall outlook of the nature because, as we all know, Benz has been one of the so-called spearhead divisions or spearhead areas in the nature that needs upgrading in its according to the city of Joburg, but nothing's been done. So this is an initiative that's purely based on the principle that we need to improve living conditions throughout the nation, and it's purely from the perspective that I've lived there all my life, and it's time to assist in the cleanup of the nation as such.
And I know you refer to the nation as being the stepchild of the north. You know, when you look at what happens in the north and you come up into our area, you find that definitely you can see the difference. Now, this initiative must have come at quite a, you know, getting all the road players must have been quite a challenge, because we're talking of not just city parks, Eskom, you know, Telkom. Have you been able to get all of them on board?
It was a tough mission. It was a few months in the making to get all the certificates and all the way applications approved, so that obviously we can go ahead with the project. It's, you know, it again comes down to one thing: when you deal with the government, you've got to wait. But we persevered and we got all the initiative done. There's just one more aspect that we need to cover. It's the Joburg Road Agency. And we're basically good to go after that. So again, it comes down to perseverance and getting documents and paperwork done so that we can actually improve conditions. So even if we have to do more paperwork, get this initiative off the ground, we're happy to do it, but it comes down again to perseverance.
And now, you know, when you speak about, you know, doing a number of things, you speak about lighting, security, paving, parks, trees, grass, streets, that seems to be a mammoth task. Where are you going to start with, and is there any particular area you've earmarked?
Yeah, okay, so land has actually been broken down into zones, so we're going to be starting the initiative off in your image system area, so that's from my Grand Avenue all the way down to Ebony Avenue. So those 5 or 6 streets is zone one. And from there we move to zone two. Zone two is basically highlighted from the bank left part of Hydrangea Avenue up until Camellia Avenue. So we've already established zones of sort of work principles where we're going to be starting up and picking up this initiative. But our focal point now is basically the area by between Hydrangea and Ebony Avenue. So that's basically our first priority, our first protocol obviously based on the fact that we have this agreement with Mr. Park and all the other entities, that's where we're going to be starting. And that's the very back end of Lanesha. So we're going to start at the back end all the way up until extension 13.
And when we talk about all this, of course, there's a financial implication, and I know that you are going to be underwriting with this or in conjunction with the AGT group. Is that correct?
Sorry, if you broke up there?
I said, you know, there's a financial implication for all of this. The cost must be huge, and it's a tremendous cost. And you're doing this in conjunction with AGT group, or is it an independent initiative?
So the AGT group belongs to us. We're basically going to be spearheading the CTI initiative, but we're not doing this alone. We're basically partnered with the company called LED, with you guys as such, and we like the initiative that you guys have taken forward in the past few years, and we just want to step it up to a level where we can basically show the nation that, you know, it doesn't take a few people to get going with a project like this here. So I'm glad that I partnered with you guys, and a lot of the 80 people that partnered with you guys, so that we can basically get Lens to sort of a first world area. Because if you look at Kami into Zend, it's the Korean ISO, and this is where 80 people came in. And obviously from a financial implication, we've already allocated funds for the entire project, so. And hopefully CityPass comes on board as well, because we're dealing with them for quite a long time now. And they've also said that they bring sort of a financial backing for the entire initiative.
You know, having said all of that now, if people want to get involved in this particular initiative, and we know that from Lakeside we'll be supporting this whole initiative, how would other people be able to get involved, saying we're wanting to do this, or we're wanting to just be part of the project? What would be the best way for them to get in touch?
So how people can get involved in this entire project is that once we kick off this initiative, people can actually see what we can have before and after, obviously highlighted in all the media. And how we're going to get people involved in the entire initiative is that they're going to see the difference that did I hear the result one. They're going to see the difference of what it used to look like and what it is currently looking like. And obviously, people who, let's take an example, you're staying in zone two, and you see the zone one is looking all spotty and all grand, so you're going to get involved. So that's the crux of the message, that we spear at one initiative so that the entire community can get involved. Because currently, if you look at the current situation, is that everybody wants to do things, but they're doing things mentally, and nothing is being done physically. So this is an initiative where people can see what's being done physically and start spearheading and getting things done as well. So even if there's a small contribution from the public, whether it be someone assisting in just planting one tree or whatever it is while we're getting the project underway, that's enough to say, you guys are stepping up to the plate and you want to get things done in Indonesia. So that's where the entire initiative is now focused in terms of getting the community involved.
I see, and you've also earmarked a community meeting. Tell us something about that. The venue is the MH Joseph, is that correct? And it's for the 15th of February.
Yeah, so we're having we're inviting all the entire community to come to MH Joseph Hall on the 15th. We started at 7, but the meeting scheduled for after 6 or 7, so that we can show and highlight the actual project, what value is going to bring to the entire community. And obviously to get feedback from the community as well as to what they would like to see in terms of the areas that we're focusing, obviously the lighting, the grass, the green, the trees, the paving, the old paving in the areas as well. So if we can get feedback from the public to give us an indication of what they would like to see, we can probably try and spearhead it, but obviously we want to pilot the project. And the crux of the meeting is basically to highlight the project, and obviously, again, coming back to one thing, getting some feedback from the community.
Well, so it's 6:30 for 7 p.m. That's the coming Wednesday at the MH Joseph Secondary Hall, and I know that this particular initiative will be supported. So many people, Leg will definitely be there, but we want the whole community to come out and to support this particular meeting. And Jonathan, find anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
So, based on what I just said early on, that, you know, it'd be good to get the entire committee rallied up and get them to this entire, to the meeting as such, so that we can get a good feel of what people want and what people need in the area. And with regard to the HP group and Negus, basically what we want to do is being information gathering session and information presentation. It's also based around the fact that we want to grow from strength to strength. So the more we grow with the community, the better it gives us the entire initiative.
Well, definitely we'll keep in touch and, you know, get the community informed as we go stage to stage. And thank you very much for being with us. And we know that this is an initiative that definitely be supported by a wide, you know, not just one particular sector of the community, but everyone would support this. And everything of the best. And yes, coming back to Tulane Asia has just been fantastic. Being away for 12 years and wanting to give back, I think it's just great.
Thank you so much, Ines, for the opportunity that, so that we can present it to the public, and then we can basically start creating things and obviously take the entire Tulane Asia area to the next level.
Yes, and I think, like you pointed out earlier on, you know, we needed to get this whole entire, you know, this whole region, not just the area, but I think the whole region green. And thank you for that initiative, and you take care. Thanks a million, Jonathan.
Once again, thanks for the opportunity.
You take care, my friend. We'll speak to you and see you on the 15th. Take care.
Okay. We will definitely see you on the 15th, Krishna.
And that was Jonathan Dulab coming back. You know, he's been out of Lineage for 12 years, but wants to give back to the community. I think a fantastic initiative, something that we should all support. And yes, it is talking about Greening Lineage. It's a community meeting that's going to be held at the M.H. Joseph Secondary School Hall, 15 February 2017, 6:30 for 7, hosted by the AGT Group in association with Legs, Lens Going Green. Stay tuned.
And that was Jonathan Dulab coming, talking to us about this initiative, and he wanted to make Lens a first world residential area, a fantastic initiative, and he's going to need all the support. And to all of you, please remember that the meeting is taking place on the 15th. If you can make it, please do go out to the Joseph Hall. And he's mapped out the whole of Lens, not only whilst he's starting out in Extension 2, that's around the Joseph. He's got plans to continue with that. And he's got all the different sectors. Well, it's electricity, Johannesburg City Parks, Telkom. He's got all of them on board. And, this is an initiative we've all been hoping would happen one day. But it is going to become a reality, inshallah. So to those of you who would want to join, please do go to the meeting on the 15th. As at M.H. Joseph, inshallah, see all of you there. That's all for me until we meet again, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Support Crescent of Hope Operation Waterwell. Millions of people are suffering daily and are in need of your help. Donate generously by contributing towards a worthy cause. Deposit directly into Crescent of Hope. Lilla account 552-800-63188. Branch code 250-737. FNB Lanesia. Make that call now to Crescent of Hope Operation Waterwell. 011-854-1809. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match, but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
Baraka Travels offers you a spiritually uplifting journey of a lifetime when we visit the three harams with spending a Jumu'ah at each haram, tie ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa and proceed for Umrah, Ziyarah in Jordan, Palestine, Makkah and Medina. Includes air tickets, bed and breakfast, transfer and personalized guided tours. Limited seats are available, so call Baraka Travel now on 083-5786-216. That's 083-5786-216 or email us at adamg.b@gmail.com. America travels, giving you an experience you will never forget.
For a kid with asthma, the joys of childhood quickly become living nightmares. A playful kitten, a cuddly puppy, a bouquet of flowers are all potential triggers for terrifying attacks. Don't let asthma rob another childhood. Call Radio Islam and donate to our mobile clinic project to help young and old. Visit our website www.radioislam.co.za for banking details.
Meri pyari maa کہے گا مشق وطن سنی سنی ڈگر اجڑا اجڑا چمن بن تیری یہ نہ مہکے گا مشق وطن ٹوٹ کر جیسے گر جائے گا یہ گگن میری ماں تو ہے جنت میں بس تو مگن کیسے تجھ سے کہوں پھر سے آ جایا کیسے تجھ سے کہوں پھر سے آ جایا میری ماں 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 پیاری ماں پیاری ماں تمنا بتاؤں تجھے اپنے اللہ سے مانگ لاؤں تجھے یہ تو ممکن نہیں اب ملیں گے وہاں یہ تو ممکن نہیں اب ملیں گے وہاں میری ماں 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 پیاری ماں یہ تو تائید غیبی کا تھا پاک پن بن تیرے سونی
مسان حبیبتان الرحمن خفیفتان علی اللسان ثقیلتان
سبحان الله وبحمده.
Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah al-Azim. Kalimatan habibatan illa ar-Rahman khafifatan ala al-lisan ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم سبحان الله وبحمده
heights of Kilimanjaro to the depths of Jericho, and from the white sandy beaches and blue waters of islands in the Indian Ocean to the dense forests of the Amazon on the South American continent. Turn dreams into reality as we explore different destinations.